And that's my happy privilege to introduce to you this morning, Evangelist Neil Frisbee.
Oh, you're happy to be here today. You believe Jesus is going to bless your heart? I really believe he is, don't you? All right, I'm going to ask him to really move on you. You know, I believe we've got Satan on the run. Don't you believe that? All right, them weeds, they can't tie this down, can they? That's for sure. That's a great blessing to know that. Can you say amen? Troubles all over the world. Different people in trouble and everywhere. And today, if you're in this service here and you love God, there's not any better place in the world. He'll watch after you. I know that. All right. Now, Lord, we know and I feel the cloud of God's over this place. I really feel you're in here this morning. And to bless your people, too, without even possibly even touching them by myself, you and that great power is settling in here this morning. Help anybody that's new, Lord. Bless their hearts together here. And whatever they need from you, let them be a different person this morning. I really believe my prayer's answered, too. Confident in the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise God. And you can go up to Bookstown if you need anything after service. Now, I don't know how he'll lead me tonight. Go ahead and be seated. We've had so many. This series, you see, that he's been involved in, actually, the three church age series and the different scrolls that are coming is in all in a series that I can't do at one time. And then when that series is over, it'll pass over into something else. And it's been these series that I've been preaching on. If you've been watching, you'll see after another couple sermons how that the and scrolls, how that the series works all together at the same time. But tonight, I don't know how he'll move on me to pray for the sick. But if he does, I will. But I do know this, that next Sunday, I will have a special healing service again, and then all who are sick will be able to come up on this platform and be prayed for, and we believe that we'll see miracles from God. We'll be doing some advertisement, and I believe that people will come and be healed by the Lord and be saved. We had about, I don't know how many were saved the last time I done that, by the Holy Spirit. Now, this morning, I believe it's the most vital message and an interesting message, too. And at first thought, while I was on this, actually some of this was coming before the church ages, but he went ahead and went into the church ages, and we were talking about all of that, and what it's bringing out is the dragon seed and the Lord seed. You know, it gives it in the book of Revelation chapter 12, and what it's trying to do is to bring out the two seeds. And where we're at, the Lord told me, quite a while back, he said, now, when you bring in those messages, he said, the children of this world is going to torment, if they can, torment you at one way or the other. And this morning, I told my wife, I said, you know, Satan just seems to be on the prowl. God gave me these messages, and you can feel him, you know. And then, sure, and then afterwards, sure, certain events take place. But, you know, he'll try. He can't get right to me because I keep away to where that Satan can't reach me very easily. But what he'll do is get close to as he can. And if you're listening to these messages this morning, well, he'll try his best to take a shot at you. Can you say amen? And sometimes it'll come from people that you least expected. So be on guard, because Satan, one thing he don't like, he don't care possibly if you work a few miracles or something like that, but don't expose him. When you expose him, you better put on the full armor, because he is the kind that he snaps back. Can you say amen? If you've got tremendous power, well, he will really get a loose from you pretty quick, but not without him taking a swack at you like that. And I really believe it too. And so Satan is Satan. And so, in bringing this out, you get the incorrigible seed stirred up. You can't do anything for them, never will be to do anything for them, because that's Scripture, it's predestination. But the fact is, there is the seed of the woman, the seed of the dragon, and so forth in there. And then going into this, revealing the seed and the apostles brought out, you stir up the devil, you expose him and all that he comes like Christ, he comes like a religion many times, and that's where he does his deadly work. And when you begin to expose him through those church ages and then bring it out, how that seed operates and acts sometimes like the real seed, you know, out there, and leads the people off in those systems in different ways to the Antichrist, then Satan don't like that, because you're cutting him off and you're exposing his plans. And when you do, well, and he don't like it. So leading into these messages and the ones we've done beforehand, they'll all fit together. And we've been talking about kind of satanic, the immorals, different things like that that Satan has done, bringing those all out. But today, we're involved in this, and it's a mystery circle. The revelation stars, it has to do with the inner circles of God. I told you the other day I was going to get to that, the wheels of God. It has to do with the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ and the attendants. And you're dealing with the sun-clothed woman, and we're dealing today into God's people. And then tonight, we'll get in why that there's such a turmoil, why there's such a push to keep the birth from coming forth. So today is different. Today is what we're going to preach about, but we'll show you about the dragon, and we'll show you tonight some things that you want to know about. So listen real close. Pull yourself together, and God will bless you. It's called the Mystery Circle and the Revelation Stars. Even from the very beginning, God was talking to us about that. And so, you remember, God has, and I can prove it here, that even when Gideon had 30,000, in there was a circle, an inner circle. God did not use those 30,000 like they did the 300 inner circle of Gideon. And we find out in the heavens, when it first started, he has the closer ones, and even around his throne. I'll get into this in a minute. He's kind of leading me away from what I had. But around his throne that he has what you call a circle close to him. And then the rest stand back from that. And then the others stand back from that. And it's kind of like military control, but it's different. And the Bible calls it his armies in heaven, Nebuchadnezzar said, and who can stop them? And the way that he does things, and the angels are ranked, and they're in different powerful positions, and each one know their positions. They do not argue with one another either, but they know what they're called to do, and the elect should not argue with one another, because one day they'll be positioned like angels. They will have jobs. They will have jobs. I know that. And so we have that mystery circle and a revelation star. But in that throne, they were close. And one time, Satan was in that circle. And God cast Satan out of that circle. And then later, he thought to get back in the circle, which was a negative way. And by Adam and Eve, they had their own little circle in the garden there. That was God's inner circle among the first born in there. And Satan tried to get in that inner circle. But later at the cross, God cast him back out of there. So the Lord has it around him. And even in the Bible, so he has the closer ones, and as they spread out from him in heaven, and the same upon earth, and the same when we get there, he's going to have that. Now, Satan is cast out of that circle. He had to leave there. I saw him fall like lightning, Jesus said. Now, if Jesus saw him fall like lightning, he was talking to the Pharisees at that time, then Jesus had to pre-exist before he was talking to them. They couldn't understand that. Well, Satan was cast out, and we don't know how many thousands of years before that, but yet Jesus stood there about 30-something years old, and he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. And there he was, not yet 30 years old. In fact, they told him that one time there. How did he see him fall like lightning if he hadn't been pre-existed before that time? How many of you are still with me now? There he was at 30. So we know that the Holy Spirit that was in Jesus is eternal there. Only the body he came in, later it was glorified back. But anyway, so Satan was cast out of there. Now watch this close. And then eating Adam and Eve in that circle. And then there was an inner circle of eight souls with Noah at that time, and then the outer circle was destroyed away from there. And then Abraham was the inner circle of God, but Lot was on the outer circle, and he was saved as it was by fire when he was brought out of there. And so we see that God numbers and God times. And I mean, during this June, possibly we're getting the prophetic numbers of the Palmoni, and when you get in that rainbow angel, and he'll begin to time things, and we'll see what the seasons are and how that God is moving. All these are leading up to something, and the Lord shows me. I write them down on paper there. And so we see this. And so everything is numbered and it's timed. And you can find it in the Bible. In a moment, I'll give you some scriptures on that. But first, I want to show you. It is a prophetic circle. And you will start to read this in Psalms 45, verses 7, 9, 11, about 13 through 15, somewhere in there. But Psalms 45. The bride is the point of the inner circle. But he has others that surround it. And you see, it's like when the bride stands by the Lord, then out is the attendants. And they sort of stand back in awe. That's exactly right. He's dramatic. And those others are beautiful too. And the bride is right close, standing at his right hand. And the rest are not there. They're attendants, and they spread back. They're standing in awe of the bride and the bridegroom. How many of you can say amen? See how he does that? There will be different dimensions. The bride is in a dimension of light. The attendants or the virgins will also be in another type light. The Hebrews will be considered in another light. They will be existing at the same time, but in several different worlds, but yet around the Lord. That's the way he does it. There are dimensions to God. This is quite deep for some of you, but I happen to have the Holy Spirit showing me how he's going to do that. And you'll see that bride, and she'll be there. And that bride is so close to him, it's just like him. Right wherever he goes, she goes. And the others fall back in awe in another dimension. They can't get quite in that dimension because they've been allotted another dimension. And so we're there around one another while we're in different lights in God's glories. Oh, he is beautiful like a rainbow. How many of you know there's dimensions to the rainbow in colors? And there's dimensions in different things and stars. And there's circles and on out in space and so forth. Well, he's trying to show us something in wheels within wheels and the church within the church. And when we get on down through here, you'll understand it. But in this chapter, we'll lay the foundation for tonight's message because it's a two-part message. and we'll get it here. And it'll be interesting if you'll now. Psalms 45. Now, in this chapter, the prophet David, he probably didn't know quite all what he was prophesying, but he knew part of it anyway. But in this chapter 45, it is similar to Revelation 12. Because in this chapter 45, it has the different women. It has the queen that sits by his side, and the king's daughter, and the virgins that carry there. You see the three different type people there. It's like the sun-clothed woman. You have the crown of 12 stars, Israel's leaders. You have the sun-clothed woman as the church of the ages, church Israel. The moon springs out on the foot, sits in the heavenly and the earthly's there before the rapture. And all of that. So it's the same as this here. Psalms 45, we'll read part of this. Tonight we'll get on the sun-clothed. And we'll really see where this dragon seed is and where the woman seed and what all happens here. And so we'll read how the anointing works as we begin to read. Verse 7. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now the bride will be anointed above thy fellows, just like Jesus when he came with the apostles. And that's what it's trying to say here. And then here it says here in verse 9, king's daughters were among thy honorable women. And upon thy right hand did sit the queen and the gold of Ophir. Now, in the book of Revelation, the sun-clothed woman is like a queen standing there. She's wrapped up in golden sun. Here it says that she's in the gold of Ophir. See him showing that? And there it stands right there. And we'll get on down through here. So it's almost the same thing there. Howbeit, this could even be Israel nearly there and the church Israel. Because the way he does it, see, there are two identities. But one would not be perfect without the other. The Gentile church, the aspect, come in about 54 A.D., when the Apostle Paul turned, and a little bit before that with Peter, but they sanctioned it, I believe it was, about the time that Paul turned, and henceforth, no more to the Jews. And the Israelitish church, it just went on away from God into blindness. But the Gentile aspect did not come in till then. And then the Gentile church began to come into there. And so we see that although Israel has different identities with the other, they're both in the hands of God, in the pattern of God, and one would not be perfect without the other. He has a definite reason bringing Israel after all that time and blinding them, bringing back in the church, the Gentile church. At that started there, and the Israelite church faded away, and the Gentile church come in there, because at the end he will graft a certain amount of Israelites back in to the tree that he said in there. So they both work together here. And so as we see down through here, the prophet is trying to get them all in here, and you'll catch on in a moment here. Hearken, and it says, and he's talking to him. So we'll go down here in verse 13. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Now this could be another one there. Her clothing is wrought in gold. Now remember Revelation 12. And she shall be brought before the king in raiment of needlework. Now here, now there's two mentioning in there. Now listen to this. The virgins, her companions. That's those tribulation ones later. Her virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. See, they follow her afterwards. They're in awe of the bride. And with gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. And so we see the different groupings of there is similar to the sun-clothed woman. As the prophet was trying to show us God's circle, there was an inner circle on the right hand. There was a king's daughter. There was a queen, the king's daughter. Then there were the virgins that follow in there. We find in Matthew 25, there was a midnight cry of the bride. There was the wise that shook themselves, woke up in there. There was the foolish that was shed out that time. There was a great tribulation in chapter 7 of Revelation that shows you they come as the sands of the sea. God is showing us all of this, even though they come later. They account them as his children. He knows what he's doing. But the incorrigible seed. See, watch the dragon. Watch how one pushes against the other. And ever since in the days of the garden when he stood there to devour. Tonight we will get on the dragon some. We will also get on why and how that things have been happening on the earth and right here in this building. How that God has been moving and why there's such a struggle for the birth of that travailing and the birth of that child that's coming forth to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And why that Satan has put everything in his power to try to thwart that from coming. You have to admit yourself, not only here but everywhere else, there's a struggle for that real thing to pop out of there. But God's Holy Spirit is going to bring it out, brother. It's coming out of there. I know what it's going to do. It's coming out of there. And so we see in that chapter 45, you study it over there, and then tonight you'll really begin to see it clear. And so we see. And so then that is the chapter 45 of Psalms there. Then they cast off the serpent seed. You see, the old false vine, it is cast completely out of that chapter. He's not even mentioned in there. Then in Revelation 12, the sun-clothed woman depicts the Gentile church. It depicts Israel, too. And it shows the same many degrees and dimensions that we just spoke about in the Psalms of chapter 5 here. They're called the royal stones. 1 Peter 2, 4 and 9. A peculiar, a mysterious people, a royal line, Peter said, to the headstone. The very royal stones of God connected to the sun-clothed woman with a moon under her foot. And we'll get into that. You see, oh, how prophetic it is, future. And then Revelation 20, you have the stars, the seeds, and those stars in his hands there, it's going to those churches there. And the seeds found in the sun-clothed woman that we have there in her is the church of the ages, Gentile Israel. And then you see the dragon stands to devour ever since Eden there. There's seven heads on the beast in Revelation 13 that stood before the woman since the first Asian kingdom of Egypt and the Mesopotamian kingdom, even before Nimrod, even in the garden. It has tried to devour the good seed of the woman. The one that God, we know it comes from the male though, but spiritually he speaks of it in this manner here. But it stood there. That dragon seed has stood there to devour. But the Bible said at the end of the age, in chapter 12, it speaks past, present, and future, but definitely future. The whole chapter, the Lord himself told me so. And he is pushing, and there's coming forth a travailing in that time there. And ever since the ages, the devil, not knowing when or what, has tried to push and to stop that very thing. But it's coming, and you can see it coming, and it's travailing now. The problems that are in the church, the different things that Satan is using all around the country and around the world, evangelists falling on the left side and the right side, using different tactics and things that are not working in the long run and will not work, and the thing is coming. But in between all of that, to cover it all up, he will have a people of faith, people of the true seed, and they will spring forth. I really believe that. Do you believe that this morning? Now, we've been talking about those other church ages, how Satan got in there. But today, if you'll listen, you'll find there is a position when we get to it, because we're going into a circle of this in a moment here. And so it's a predestined circum. And tonight, this is a foundation this morning. You'll understand it better tonight, I'm quite sure. But part two tonight, it's a great predestined circle. And we'll get in and show you exactly in Romans. And we'll get in and to the book of Revelation and show you exactly how things and how God puts them in order and why they're to be like that. And so we see, you remember the time, and you can see the dragon seed also in Revelation 17. Now, Genesis 37:9, wherein he saw the sun, the moon, and the stars, and they made respect unto him and obedience unto him. And it's, and what he saw was similar to the church Israel, right there Joseph was. And in the spotlight, he was symbolic of Christ, as it all would come to him at the end of the age. And also in Egypt, they did come to him like that. And I'll touch on that some tonight as we get to that. And then everything that God does, every hair on your head is numbered. And everything that he does is numbered in time, perfectly in order. Now, not all little bitty events are all predestinated. But the major events that God has that causes this world to turn and come into him one way into heaven and the other way into destruction, those major events have already been categorized. They've already been put together, and he knows exactly what the steps are going to be, and he has made provision for the church. And you talk about power, Shekinah power, he's going to give it to the church, and at the right moment, and we're going to get ready, and behold, she makes herself ready. Can you say amen? Sure. We watch and see how it works. It's going to work in such a way that it'll just work right in there and fold together, and then the first thing you know, the world don't know anything about it, and God's got his church in that circle, and she's gone up there. And Ecclesiastes 3, it tells about the timing of things. In Matthew 10:30, it tells about the very hairs of your head being numbered and things like that, if you want to see that. That's Matthew. And there's definitely different degrees in the groups. The bride is the closest to be in that group. Is the prize that Paul talked about. To be nearest Jesus all eternity is indeed the prize. How many of you know that? This is some quotations that I wrote myself here on the Holy Spirit. And the bride class is in the innermost circle. You know, it speaks about it in several places in the Bible, how that this is going to come. And we'll get to it right here. I have a little something that Lord led me to this writing. I'll read it to you. I know it very well. And we're in there's a special dimension that will come to the bride in faith. And that dimension is coming. What you see how that he operates on me will more and more get stronger and stronger upon the congregation as their bodies can handle it or take it. But their faith will increase. But the incorrigible seed, never mind about them, brother. They're going to be taken and somewhere in the world and put in a spot where they'll be worshiping the Antichrist. But he's got real seeds and people there. But there is a great thing and a dimension that we're going to. I really believe this with all of my heart, and there's going to be that. Now, in Job, it spoke of that place in chapter 28, 7. And often you've heard me speak about it. There is a path which no fowl knoweth. No devil or incorrigible seed can stay there. For no fowl knoweth. And which the vulture's eye hath not seen. How many of you see it right here where we're at, where the vultures don't know? And it says here, and how many of you are still with me here? The fowl don't know anything about it. See, boy, he's got that path. And the old boy suffered in all of his sufferings to bring this forth for the church at the end of the age, too, and for his people. And there is a path which no fowl knoweth, which a vulture's eye hath not seen. And many Christians do not know this. And the prophet put it above all rubies, diamonds, and all of the beautiful emeralds and the gold and whatever you would have in this path if you could find it. It just no. The reason, you know why they can't find it and will not stay or cannot find it, and when they look at it, they cannot see it? Because he will lead the ones to find it with spiritual eyes, not with the natural eye at all. Are you still with me now? Only those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Oh, me. Psalms 91. Now, in Psalms 91, there's a secret place. There's a path. It's under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. It's in the praising of the Lord. It's in knowing just how to approach God. It's just how that you get there, the bride does. Remember the qualifications of faithfulness to God, but not only that, in all that you do, get that sermon because it was leading up to this one right here. So the Psalms 91, every believer should carefully study this chapter. You should study it because there are secrets all through there. In fact, even in that chapter, it shows you that there's safety even during the tribulation if the people know how to get a hold of God. Even David spoke about the great pestilence that's in there at that time. It's atomic radiation desolation. But it shows how that God's hand is with his people there. It's got many secrets and how you can fight demons and devils and just what you're supposed to be there. It speaks of the highest plateau in a Christian experience. And it's only open to those who have ears to hear and the spiritual eyes to see these things. It's the advanced lessons of faith. And if you've entered that realm, you're going to get in there to where you can make the devil move on out, and you can bring on God. You can bring the Lord closer to you. Are you still with me now? Listen to this. In that realm, you will rise above many of the petty annoyances and anything that troubles you. The little problems that aggravate you. When you get in that 91st Psalms, and you get in Job chapter 28, 7, and you get in these little petty things and those problems, that will begin the problems of life, you begin to rise above them. Somehow you have something different. Thus you're releasing and greater, and you're released for greater advances. And God can then begin to use you. Once that you rise above and somehow against the negative spirits, and you rise above the little arguments and the annoyances and the petty things of this life, and you begin to rise up on that plateau, the 91st Psalms and Job 28:7, and you begin to rise, then you're advancing into a dimension that God can use you. Then you can speak and things can happen. No longer are the things of this life keep you down, Paul said, and tie you down each day. He said, I die out to those things. And when I talk, the devil listens and moves on. Can you say amen? You're advancing on then. But as long as you let this one push at you and that one, and these little annoyances get a hold of you, you'll never have the Christian walk of a high dimension with God. I'm telling you the secrets of the Lord. And both of those, and that Job chapter 28 and 7, and Psalms 91, if you can get that to work and you're moving and you're advancing and going on over. I've got a little something I want to read here. The Lord led me to this writing, and it was very good. It's why I'm putting it in here. There are workers in the vineyard. There are some that are slothful. There are some that are negligent in their Christian calling. You know, haphazard. They don't really care. They are too casual in their whole way of life and are apt to resent any pressures that will disturb their comfortable routine. How often have we said, you know, it's like saying this, don't shake the apple cart today in the service, you know, in some of those churches. Said, man, you know, a sister so-and-so, a brother so-and-so down. Now, ain't me. Nobody tell me. I'm going to preach just what I want to. I'm talking about in these great organizations. And I don't say that smartly. I just say that full of love because I can't see nobody telling me any other way to preach than what God gives me. If anybody gives me anything to preach what God gives me, then I'll quit and let them preach. Sure, I don't want to preach that bad. It's the only Lord told me. That's why I'm called. If I call myself, see, I probably want to preach. But God called me. But I'm happy to do what he told me to do because I know that the only thing that's going to count is to obey the Lord and to be called away. I've seen evangelists today. Listen to me. Friends that I've known for years. I've seen more than four or five of them just lately in some of the most severe trouble you've ever seen in your life. And I told the Lord, how in the world can he get so blind that they just stagger off into that. It's like they're looking for trouble, creating their own problems. And I prayed about it, and the Lord said, you know what's troubling them? He said, they won't preach my word, so I'm not going to give them any rest. They're either going to preach it now, or I'm going to separate them, and they're going on in another direction. And you watch and see. If you hold with the Word, God's hand will be with you in such a way. It's an all today. There's four or five of those I've known for years. They respect my mystery. They know God's with me. They know that. They don't understand the trail that I take and why I preach like I do. They want more in the world and crowds, more of the finances, more of these things, that, and they never keep it. They just goes for this and goes for that. But at the same time, they think that's God's really way out there. But, you know, if you leave out the Word, that wouldn't be so bad if they tried to get to those people out there. But when you leave out the Word to do it, it's not going to really work. You're going to have to go over with another section. Finally, but I really believe this: if I can reach, and I have done it like nobody else, in reaching the nominals, but I see they have to come my way, even if they don't stay. They have to come into the way that I am. I will go and help those people all that I can, but I'm not going to leave the Word. I'm going to carry the fire with me, and that's going to stay with me. Can you say amen? That's right. You know, and later on, probably in the newspapers, different things you'll be reading about some of it. Severe trouble, several of them in these. It's happened there. All right. Now, but you see, they get in a comfortable routine, the churches. They don't want to upset the congregation just right. See, the congregation, they're giving just right. They are satisfied. They're a little deucey. And see, they don't want to get anything better. They have God, and they say, I don't want any more. See, they told the Lord. And he stand outside knocking there. And so the same thing here today, that we're involved around the world in the country here. They've got things just like, the preachers are computed to be just like they want them. See, God hasn't got a chance to really preach what he wants to preach. So therefore, he has to take one out of season, like Paul. Even the disciples were getting kind of on the wayside. He reached over and got the apostle down there, and he didn't go up there for 13 years, and God and the Lord held him back. And then he said, when I went up, I didn't go because of myself, but I went up by divine revelation that God sent me up there. He wasn't wanting to go up there. God sent him up there. And so he went out of season, and he began to talk to each one of them. And there was the Lord coming back with a light on Paul, and he was setting the church back in order again as he came up through there. They had become comfortable. They become a routine. They had reverted back into some of their ways. Peter had set aside and wouldn't mix with the Gentiles at all, and yet God had called him to them and called him, and Paul come up there and corrected him there, and I withstood him to his face, and I talked to him right there, Paul said, and told him about it. And there was sort of slack, and Peter was bad at that. And so Paul come up there, and evidently there was great love for Paul, because with his pen he helped Peter write those books, and of course he become his friend real quick, because he couldn't write at all. And so God knows how to do things. Because he also had great influence, Peter did. But Paul said it didn't mean anything counterclockwise to me. I added to them and not them to me. Now, that's strange that he could say that. And they walk with the Lord, too. But God couldn't pull one out of season and send him at the right time to that circle. Can you say amen? He knows what he's doing. And so when they were getting comfortable, Paul come along and sort of shook up, woke up the apple cart and got them all straightened around there again and so forth. Now, others are too disorganized to win the race. In other words, they don't really get themselves together. You know, they let the least little old wind or bird come by and pick the seed right out. They'll hear one message, and 3 days they couldn't tell you which way or what's going. Don't be that. Try. I know you're not going to remember forever, but at least you know something is occurring and it is happening there. And so they never get things together. And they will never secure the prize that the apostle strove for. But they lag behind, and they will learn too late that their golden opportunity has been lost forever. See, they are saved, but saved as by fire. See, they don't have anything. They're just barely saved in there. Or their reward is diminished, and are destined to spend eternity in the outer circle, not in the inner circle. So do men in their lifetime determine their destiny. What's it going to be? The inner circle or the outer circle? Predestination will prove it all. But let me tell you, as long as I have a free will, and as long as I'm able to believe that Word of God, I am going to strive and see what the Lord will do with me. Can you say amen? Boy, Paul said, try for the prize. Even if you don't make it, brother, you've got something good. Can you say amen? God doesn't like anybody slothful. Get in the race and stay in the race there. And so we see, isn't this beautiful here, how God has things here. If I can find something else here, I'll read it. Back to my message here for a little bit here. I got one more thing here. Now we see how that you must get in the race. And you must win that prize. That prize is as close to Jesus as you can get, right up next to Him. And to spend it in eternity, that close. Brother, that is a reward. And there is difference. Now, we're going to get into that in a moment, but there is difference there. And so Paul spoke about that prize. To be nearest to Jesus and to spend eternity is what the bride class is all about. Amen. Now, listen to it real close. We'll get down here. I've got some more. And so we begin to come into this. As God begins to lead us into this, we begin to see from the very earliest of time, around the throne was the inner circle.
And from there the other angels went out. See, the cherubims and the seraphims were up higher. And then there were the cherubims. The seraphims were on, I believe, on top. Then the cherubims were there. Sometimes they say the seraphims and the cherubims are the same. They have what they call a teraphim of some sort that they have there too. But it's not plain in the scriptures just exactly. But we're getting into where that the Lord is in there. And it's the inner circle. And Satan was right at the top of that circle. So in the very beginning, he begins to show us that he has different ways. He has the seraphim. Satan was right involved above that. He had the cherubim. Then he has the angels ranked on each side of him there. And then they spread out. And so when we go back, the bride will be right fitting in there. You watch and see. So from there all the way down through Eden to Noah, he had these all through the church ages. And everywhere that he went, he had this. Now listen to me real close. And I'll try to bring this to best. I've got some scriptures to bring here, and I want to bring them here. And listen to me close. Now, to be in this coveted class is the inner circle. It's the one that Paul and the apostles and those that they wrote about. It is the very supreme effort. It is to put everything that you've got behind it. That's the way he taught it. And today the church doesn't see it. They just walk around and say, I'm saved, feel full of the Holy Ghost, so therefore I'm going up. But don't you want to be positioned? Don't you want the prize of the Lord? Don't you want to make sure that you're doing what Jesus wants you to do? How many of you can say amen? Get behind it with everything that you have, and God will bless your heart. Now, there will be an inner circle in Jesus' coming kingdom. Now, this is an illustration I'm going to do here. This will sort of solve it for you. This is an illustration how that he does things. He showed us upon the earth when he was walking. No one noticed what he was doing. But he was making these circles. And if you'll watch, it's infinite nearly. They won't be this many, because some of these that I'm going to talk about will wind up in two or three classes of people. But yet he showed us what he was doing, and it's an illustration here. So and even as there was while he was upon the earth, there was an inner circle in Christ's kingdom. And even while he was upon the earth, now listen to this. First, there was a multitude who listened to his words, and they rejoiced at his miracles. Now, not all the multitude, because they turned against him and left. But there were those that were in the multitude. But even those, now watch, but most of whom never understood the spiritual meaning of his teaching. That's John 6:24, 60 and 66 there. Even though they rejoiced in his miracles, and they got to see the great acts, and they heard him speak, and they were become part of the large following that he had there, they never really understood what he was talking about. That's one class of people there. Some of those will be chosen somewhere down the line, but not many. Then there were the 500 believers who followed him the whole way and were counted worthy of witnessing him in his resurrection glory. 1 Corinthians 15:16. I believe there was 500 that witnessed him after the resurrection at that time, and they were counted worthy to see that. Now watch as he drops down. Of these, there were 120 who were so devoted to him that they obeyed his command to tarry in Jerusalem until they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 1, 4, and verse 5. And then Acts 2, the first part of the chapter reads that. And among these 120, there was a smaller circle of 70 disciples who had gone forth in active ministry in the harvest field. Luke 10, 1 and 2. And still there was a more intimate group where his 12 apostles who had forsaken all to follow him and whom he ordained to become special leaders of the church. That's Matthew 19:27, verse 29. And then finally, there was the innermost circle of all, Peter, James, and John. He took these three alone on top of Mount Transfiguration in Matthew 17 in the Bible. And he appeared to those three like he did to all the rest of them. And his face was altered, became like lightning. And the glory of the Lord was all over him, and a voice spoke out. And there's the inner circle. And then it said, oh, it's good for us three to just stay here and be in this inner circle here. And he was talking to Jesus that way at that time. And another time, he brought them into a room with him, and he raised the daughter of Jairus, Luke 8:51. And there were other occasions that we know about. See how he drawed down from the multitude? He came on down to the 500 that got to see him away. There was 120 went into the upper room. There was the 70 that he sent out to do his work there, and it just kept breaking down to the 12 apostles and then to the three. Now, he's showing us something there. In heaven, some of those will meet in the same groups, but in heaven, he has one standing back from the other. The bride, like I say, is the attendants are in all. And tonight, we'll get to this better. This is a foundation. You won't understand this until you get it on cassette or book form, because the way he gives it, it's so many scriptures that's lining this out. But how many of you are beginning to see how he's going to do things? Sure, he's going to do there. If you like to be in the head of the front, If you feel that God, in your soul, if I were you, I would go for the prize, because it's the best thing that you can do there. And so there was an innermost circle
within the inner circle. And thus it will be in the world to come. Revelations 14:1 through 5 tell us there will be a special company in heaven, limited in number. Now, what is that? In Revelations 14, it has dumbfounded ministers. They can't figure it out because over here in Revelation 7, the 12 tribes are numbered and they're down sealed for the great tribulation. But here in Revelations 14, some said that's the same group, but it's not. I even feel that myself. And there's been arguments about it. In Revelations 14, it says they stood on Mount Zion, and they had no guile, and they had the Father's name, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, written there beforehand. There was 144,000 of them too, which no one knows anything about. But they're the innermost circle in there, however you look at it. They couldn't be the Jews, because in the same chapter, they're down below going through the tribulation, because it says the mark of the beast is being issued. Yet these were called up above, 144,000. There's no time for the Jews to be there at that time. They're sealed upon the earth with Moses and Elijah in chapter 11, going through the great tribulation. Yet they're sealed away in there. So there are special groups in here that God's got. We do know this. There is the voice of the bride. There is the wise, somehow that spins in there close and part of kite. There's the foolish. They go through great tribulation. Matthew 25 will show you the difference in there. And Revelation 7. And you have the Hebrews. You've got the 144,000. There's another group of the circle that's there. And you have what we call Israel. There is a church Israel that is Israel. Then you have the false seed of Israel, which is pushed back. They're the seed of the dragon. Don't go in there. But you have the 144,000 which are there. Then you have that during that all that call upon the name of the Lord. There's another seed somehow that do not take the mark of the beast, that flee somehow or another, that God calls in. So it's like a fan. He knows what he's doing. And during the great tribulation, he does bring forth them as the sands of the sea. Yet he has called up a bride to himself because that work is so vital and so valuable. They're not just called up because just that he wants to do that, but they are a trained group of people. They've got a special job. They're called first, and he has many reasons. Yes, they loved him, and he had a reason for bringing them up there, and they don't go through the great tribulation, and then he has another job for those that go through, and they give their life and their blood and their testimony. How many of you are still with me now? It's kind of hard in here this morning preaching it, but I'll tell you, it's the truth. Everything I'm telling you is the truth here, and so it's clear. That number, and they follow the Lamb, it says in Revelation, they follow the Lamb wheresoever he goeth. Now, whether anybody ever figures out what group that is, it makes no difference. They're in the inner circle and follow him wheresoever he goeth. There's only one other class of people that follow him wherever he goeth, and that's the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's the wise attendants, and then there's the foolish, and then there's the Hebrews. See how that fans out? It's thus saith the Lord in here that he has his groups like that. And they come to a fine point, a capstone, and they reach that fine point. And when it comes just to where he wants it, he is going to call them away. Can you say amen? You know, when you get into these seeds and you deal in these positions and you begin to get them like that, Satan once had a position. And when he had a position, he's been cast from that position, you see. And even today, if you bring that the people of God have positions with the Lord, that's what he is trying to fight. That's what all the trouble has been about upon the earth. Everything that he has caused to do. That is why, if he can only keep back the prize, that is God's choice. That is the apple of God's heart. It's the apple of his eye. If he can keep that back, he is thwarted. But being God is not only infinite, but man, he is sovereign. And it's by faith in God, whether Satan can believe it or not, I believe it and know it. To a foregone conclusion, they will come forth, and it's almost there for them to be born. I know I've got some prophetic sermons coming later in the year. We're getting closer to something. We're turning into these 80s. Changes, 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 circles. And God, resurrection, everything is coming. And he's getting them ready. They will be born. It's going to be a class, and it's going to be power. It's going to be all. It's going to be queenly. It's going to be royal. It's going to be God. It'll be suffering. It'll be tested. But God will be in the middle of the thing. That's what counts. He's going to be in the middle of the camp, and the Lord's people are going to glorify him. That's right. So we see here, it involves a full surrender, a full dedication. You have to have a full concentration too. Everything you possess spiritually, mentally, and whatever that you can give in any other way that you got, you've got to put your whole thing behind it, and then the Lord will bless you. I really believe that with all my heart. Now, in the circle within a circle, Ezekiel's will in chapter 1 chose church Israel nearly, and the involvement. Both have different identities, but yet one would not be perfect without the other. It's in his divine plans. He will graft them back in at the end of the age. And so as he begins to get his wheel together, he's got an inner circle, the very closest one to his heart,
and then they spanned off in awe from that point there. And it's going to be beautiful. It's really going to be glorious today. It's something that you want to run for to win the prize, Paul said. It's a race. And believe me, the royal stones are coming forth. And we're going to see that. God is going to bless His people like never before. His messages are coming like this because they're all coming together. And maybe you can't understand it all, but you don't have to. Just take the fundamental reasoning in here and begin to see what He's going to do. Yes, He does have a people. And believe me, they'll be bright. And they'll shine like the stars. And they'll be glorious people. And let me tell you something, it's not going to be long either. He's really moving. And when He does, then we will see the hand of God as we've never seen before. How many of you know that He's really real? Can you say amen? Now remember, the travailing is what's been going on. And we can see it too. And I think it is in Romans 8, probably verses 19 to 23. Paul said, I suppose the suffering of this world could never, and all the suffering put together, would match what God's going to do for us. And he tells about the travailing of the church and how she will come forth there and everything. I've got another scripture on Paul here I want to get to because he spoke so much about this. And listen to it close here. He said now, and remember this, the shadow of the executioner was ready to fall across his path. And he could say this, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them also that love His appearing. Do you love His appearing this morning? You get what Paul got. If you love the appearance of these messages, that's Him. You love the appearing that He's doing this. Then if you love the appearing of the Lord, you have the crown. If you don't love the appearing of the Lord, you'll lose your crown. Paul knew that his fight was finished. His work was done. The prize he had coveted and he had longed for those many years, he suffered and he toiled. He could hardly wait for the moment of his departure to take place because he said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Boy, he was ready to go. Can you say amen? The prize. Here's what it is. The prize is the supreme joy of being part of the inner circle, to be included in the very bride of Christ, to be close to Him as a wife to a husband for eternity. There's the prize. My! Can you say amen? No wonder the Lord pushed back those others from it and then pushed back some more even from theirs and just kept pushing them back, standing in awe. Drama. There He is, the great God. There it is, the prize. To be close to Him for eternity. My, my, my. Isn't that beautiful? So from the chapter, Psalms 45, the queen sitting on the right hand, the king's daughter, then the virgins that attend her, and right down in the palace it says to the king, and then over in the book of Revelations 12, the crown of 12 stars, clothed with the sun, church of the ages, moon sitting in exalted position there under the feet of the woman, ready for the man-child to be born. Just look at the ages involved with that woman there. Church Israel, even though two identities are both wrapped in that woman, from the 12 stars, right down through the sun, right down to the moon there, and that Psalms 45 is trying to show us the needlework in there that God has performed. The birth of that man-child and the dragon standing there, caught up into heaven. What a picture there. The other seed has fled through the wilderness. It's beautiful. Many people try to say, that was, you know, it's telling us about the birth of Christ. No, He died at that time and was not caught up into heaven and fled into Egypt with His parents as a little boy there. You read the whole chapter, although it does in somewhat depict that the Lord would be caught up later into heaven. But this, He had been dead, I guess, 80 or 90 or 100 years when John had wrote it. Yes, that many years, because John was a young man at that time. He lived to be very old. And Jesus had met him again on the Isles of Patmos years and years later. So the book is prophetic. We know that. And you just help but to read it. And, of course, Jesus is only one seed, and he was caught up. And then we see that what was left of the seed of the man-child, what was left of the woman, flee into the wilderness there, and the dragon was after her seed. And then over in chapter Revelation 13, it wasn't the seven crowns was on the kingdom, but the ten horns weren't crowned then. And at that time, the man-child was taken up. But when she fled in the wilderness, Satan come down. In chapter 13, we see the ten crowns. They're crowned there, but they weren't a while ago. And then the great tribulation is on. Oh, what secrets of the Lord. And by when you read all this, you'll understand it. You can't. It's so supernatural and spiritual, and in such dimensions, you can hear it, but you can't hardly catch it. But you know the fundamentals, and that's what He wants you. So this, the way He does it, is to get it afterwards. And boy, you've got food. And let me tell you, what breaking off of what we've already said here, you'll have all kinds of revelations yourself just coming to you, showing you about people and everything. Remember, the bride will be there.
her color. She'd be right there. But in a dimension that you can't get to. Yet she's standing there with Jesus. And she's in the dimension with Jesus. And then next to that will be the wife. There'll be attendants in there. They will be in another dimension. And that dimension, all of them in the same place in different dimensions. I wish I could explain that to you. And the different lights and zones. It's just like we have a spiritual a world, and we have also a physical world, and then we have a different dimensions. But the thing in physical dimension, you know, you got sound, a taste, eyes, so forth. But in there, the dimensions, the bride is in one, the other's in another one, and then each one rank, and they go in their different jobs. Then they can't get over into that other dimension to do that work because that one is in that work. Yet they're around one another, but one goes this way as if they were in the same place, but they're not because they're in a dimension. It is a spiritual world. It is a revelation world. It is a beautiful world. And there is harmony and coordination. Man, they can work like a wheel. I'm telling you, it is beautiful, a wheel within a wheel working for God. Spinning like this. And the Bible in Revelation 7, it said, and he is set upon the throne, and his wheels were spinning and burning with fire. Can you say amen? And they work just like hummingbirds. Oh, how beautiful that is. Each one has a dimension, and they will work one set of plans for God, and he will put them over certain things. And the other dimension is set to go into other places and work. And each one have a different dimension. It is so beautiful that if you could only understand those things. Do you ever get into the Corinthians one day? I'm going in there and bring all those gifts and things out when he gives me time to get in there. Do you ever know the dimensions? You have the three power gifts. You have the three revelation gifts. Then you have the three vocal gifts and so forth. And then it just one will lapse and work over with the other one, all of them working in together there, and yet they're all different dimensions. Sure, manifestations and dimensions and operations, Paul says. Read it yourself. Well, so he knows what he's doing. So in the circle, in heaven, it's like Ezekiel's wheel within a wheel. All of them belong to the wheel, never broken from the other, yet in different dimensions, and God has chosen them, and they're predestined. And tonight, if you've ever wondered about it, about predestination and how that God does things, and see, he's sovereign. There's just no way. We may not understand why he done this to Israel and why that this was done to the Gentiles and why this happened and why did the Lord allow this. But it's just, we don't tell him that. He made us. He knows what he's doing. He's so far advanced ahead of the normal mind of thinking that we have that we cannot understand all of God's plans and ways. But we will then, and you'll say, oh, what a fool. My lands. No wonder he said, oh, fool, slow to understand all that the prophets have told you. He said, and that's what he called them at that time. And there he called them fools, and there were disciples there. My land. And we'll say to ourselves, oh, my. But see, he knows what he's doing. Can you say amen? So tonight, if you've never understood about the predestination, how that God moves. Now, I don't believe, you know, people once saved, that doctrine always saved, and they can go drink and they can go out here and do that. I don't believe they'll be saved if they stay out there in the world and do all of that. But I believe this, if they backslide in there and they're one of God's children, he's married to the backslider, should they fit in his wheel, he'll pull them back through. And when he gets through spiritually whooping them, they'll be glad to get back in the house of God. Because he'll chastise. He'll chastise. I mean, he'll chastise his children. And the other ones that won't take that chastise, Paul said, are bastards. Where are you at now? That incorrigible seed. Can you say amen? That's in Hebrews. I think it's up there 12 somewhere. I don't make any difference. It, some of these days I've got something coming out. It's incorrigible outfit. Can you say? Can't do anything with it. And so, you remember unruly Cain? Yeah, how many of you remember that? No matter how God tried to compromise with him and talk to him, he was not going to do what God told him to do. Can you say amen? But anyway, never mind about that. God even has mercy on those kind of people, and he showed it through history there. And all of his plans are known unto him from the beginning of time on in there. I really believe that. But nevertheless, if you don't understand all of those things tonight, we're going to show you as we turn to the chapter 12 in Romans, and as we begin to go, we'll show you why and how Satan will push against you if you're the seed that's coming forth from God. And you're the very one predestinated. You may sometimes look and say, well, how could I ever fit in there? Sometimes the foolish may even outshine you. It may look that way. But let me tell you something. You have one thing in your favor. If you're not where you think you should be, God is going to put you there. You just watch and see. Because the church is not where it should be. Nowhere in the world is the church where it should be. It's thus saith the Lord. They are better, though, than the others that are out there. They may not sometimes show it, but in their heart they believe this word. Man, they've got it in their heart, and you can't take it away from them. They have faith in the heart. Then, if you've got the Word, and you believe in your heart, you're a believer, let me tell you something. He's going to polish you up, because you're a diamond in the rough. He'll get you. But I never want to compliment the church here or anywhere, but the stages, that's where it's at. And they're just not at this time over the earth or even here like they should be. I know all of these things. If they were, then I wouldn't have any job right now, would I? But it's my job, and I want you to listen to me real close, and then God will begin to... Something's going on inside of you all the time. Every time that you listen to these messages, something is going on inside, and God will bless your heart. So, your seeds you'll be pushed at. Satan will put a point in you. He'll throw the darts. He'll try to pull you away. He'll push in. And if you're not really the real seed of God, then you will be pushed on away. You'll wind up in a mother's circles. You'll get away from God. I want in the inner circle of God. I want to be in the royal stones of the Lord, close to Him as I can get. Therefore, we know that when He says, come up hither, we're going to go up. Can you say amen? That is truly right, and it is wonderful. And so that message that we have today, it will be put out someday on cassette. I don't know when, but I pray that God will bless your heart, because the anointing alone that God has put on it will bless your hearts. Amen, amen. And I really believe that. How many of you feel Jesus right now? Do you feel Jesus? Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord God. And so, as we close here, we're going tonight in a part two of this message, which will be the real message. This is the foundation. We're going into the seed of the woman, the dragon, about the mystery of predestination. So don't miss it. We're going to bring it. It is prophetic. Oh, how prophetic it is for our age. We're living right there where He's calling that. And we're just right at the time. There's no better time in the history of the world to bring it than to bring it to His people right now. And many times in these, you know, these kind, this is for teaching and for learning. This is the series, and I'll be finishing it up tonight, of all the series of scrolls and scripts that I've done, we'll be finishing up tonight, and that'll all fit into a series together there. And we'll try to get the church ages out as quick as possible. I want you to stand to your feet here, so it finishes it up tonight, all of that series. And where I go from there, well, I've got notations for this summer, and I've got things for this fall, and we'll see. But I'll tell you, He's been dealing with me in numbers. And He knows how to call it. No one knows the exact day of the Lord's coming. We know that. No one knows probably the exact week or the month or something. But Jesus said in the Bible, and I've got scriptures too to back it up, that we would not be ignorant of the times and seasons. And believe me now, there's a bride coming forth in that seed. If you want to know if you're involved, you'll be here tonight. It'll help you greatly there. But we will know the times and seasons. And let me tell you, when he gets in there, you know, Daniel running to the Palmoni, it says in the original Hebrew, and that's the number of secrets. That's the wonderful number. And the one that reveals great secrets. He found again in Revelation 10. He calls time. He knows what the seasons are. We may not know the time of the day, but we can get close to the coming of the Lord. And believe me, He is going to show His bride. So today, it is really time to dress up spiritually. Can you say amen? To get ready for the Lord. And you, I'll tell you, if you're a diamond in the rough, brother, I'm going to bring it out. Oh, my! He said, I tell you, if you ought to know how they're manufactured, you read how those diamonds are manufactured. He's got these seven anointings of lightning. And let me tell you, when this here spirit, the seven anointings of God come in there, it's going to grind that and make that diamond. So my job with this fire and this power is to bring that diamond out and let it shine. And the rest can stand back in awe at the throne and watch. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, Satan, why he don't like to be exposed. And neither does he like the people that he knows that God's going to position. You see, he lost it, didn't he? He lost it. Oh, how it must hurt to see God taking other people there. My, how it must hurt him to do that. But all of God's plans are full of wisdom. And never count God wrong for what he did with Satan, because he knows what he's doing. Some things I'm not allowed to tell you, but you can read between the lines how that God knows what he's doing. Amen. Let's just praise the Lord. I'm going to pray over you this morning. I'll be here tonight, and we'll really have a rally after the service. God will bless your heart. And if you're sick this morning, come on down here. I won't pray for you on the platform, but I'll pray over you for a few minutes. Come on, let's see you get in that circle. Can you get in there? Praise God.